Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Roswell, New Mexico, January 2009. On January 1st, 2009, Greg Blodgett reported his father, William Blodgett, missing. Greg was concerned that something had happened to his father due to the fact that no one in his family had been able to make contact with William since midday, December 23rd, 2008. Greg lives in Maryland, and the only family that lives in town besides William is his ex-wife, Joan Blodgett, who called Greg today, telling him that a note had been left on her door from Barbara Brown and Mona Nichols, stating they had not heard from William since the 24th of December. William was originally supposed to be feeding Joanne's dogs while she was out of town. Mona Nichols, who describes herself as William's girlfriend, stated she had last seen and spoken to William on December 23rd at about 11 a.m., It was a warmer day than average, especially for a winter day. Apparently, William had a problem with his tenant in the front part of his home, accusing a man named Tony of stealing William's wallet. It was shortly after this fight that William apparently tried to evict Tony, but investigators were not aware of the results of that action or of the stolen wallet information. Both Greg and Mona mentioned Jerry Sore as being William's best friend, but neither had his contact information. Police gathered information regarding the last known contacts with William Blodgett. Then a welfare check was made to his home. After arriving and knocking on the front door, it opened on its own. The simple weight of the knock pushing the door open. There was a smell.
Welcome, listener. I'm glad you're here. Take a seat next to the fire.
Was cleared by the responding officers. The residents appeared to still have personal belongings, including clothing and some letters. The living areas appeared to have been abandoned for at least a week. You could smell rotten food and hear buzzing flies. There were dead vermin on the ground. The home, while messy and dirty, did not appear to have been searched through, nor was there any sign of foul play. The back of the home was also checked where William's vehicle was parked with no signs of foul play. But it was clear, something was amiss, and a man was missing. On January 5th, Detective Rusty Briscoe was assigned to the case of missing person William Blodgett. Detective Briscoe started by randomly visiting and passing by William Blodgett's home. Briscoe did not observe anyone entering or leaving the residence. Blodgett was entered into NCIC as a missing person. He was also entered in the Department of Public Safety as a missing person. Detective Briscoe obtained a copy of Blodgett's dental records and x-rays and had a copy sent to the Department of Public Safety. William Blodgett was 69 years old, about 5 foot 9 inches tall, and 165 pounds, with gray hair and brown eyes when he went missing. After being sued for divorce, he lived in a residence in a bad neighborhood. He left all of his possessions behind and lived in a sort of squalor. A search warrant was served to track phone for Blodgett's number, and Briscoe learned that they could not provide him with any new information that would be beneficial to the investigation. Briscoe searched the local area in and around the neighborhoods where Mr. Blodgett lives, talking to neighbors and friends, and none of them had any leads. Detective Lisa Brackeen interviewed a Mr. Tony Peralta. No new leads arose from that interview. Tony Peralta was the man first mentioned at the start of the episode. Apparently, Tony was accused of stealing William Blodgett's wallet shortly before he went missing. Because of this dispute, William was in the process of having Tony evicted before he went missing. A promising lead, no doubt, but a dead end that proved to be a waste of time, with Tony having a solid alibi. Briscoe interviewed Barbara Brown and Mona Nichols and learned that the last time they saw William was on Christmas Eve. Next, the detective had a cadaver dog in and around Mr. Blodgett's residence, but was unable to get any leads or hits from the dog. Briscoe contacted Pioneer Bank, where Mr. Blodgett has a banking account, and learned there had not been any activity, other than deposits from institutions, but no money has been withdrawn from his account. Nearing the end of his rope, Blodgett contacts the FBI, and they agree to get a DNA profile of Mr. Blodgett so that it can be sent to the missing persons clearinghouse. Detective Briscoe felt defeated by the case. It was like Blodgett had fallen off the face of the earth. And just like that, like many cases before it, the case went cold. With family members and friends left to wonder what happened to their loved one, days, weeks, months, years passed. There were no new leads. On October 6, 2017, the Roswell Daily Record published a Crime Stoppers roundup of cold cases in the Roswell, New Mexico area. One bulletin read, William Blodgett was last seen at his Roswell home on December 23, 2008, and has not been heard from since. Mr. Blodgett is a white male with brown eyes, gray hair, 5 foot 9 inches tall, and 165 pounds, and was 69 years old at the time of his disappearance. His family is still looking for a safe return, although foul play is expected. And after that, well, the memory of William Blodgett began to fade. Unfortunately, I don't think the world has a lot of capacity to care for a missing 69-year-old male divorcee. It's sad but true. There's almost no footprint online for this man for a decade and a half. And then one day, 15 years later, a 911 call was made. That caller, Tony Peralta.
Sir, tell me exactly what happened.
Well, I killed somebody.
You killed somebody?
Yes, sir.
What's your name, sir?
Tony Peralta.
And who is the person that you killed, Tony?
His name is Bill.
Tony Peralta, consumed with guilt, borrowed his friend's phone to report himself for the murder all these years later. Officers arrived at the scene to find Tony sat with his friend on a curb, sporting a goatee and a gray t-shirt. The man confesses the moment the police arrive.
That's what I heard for the murder that I did a long time ago.
Okay, a long time ago?
Yeah.
Or today?
A long time ago.
What is that?
I buried him in his house.
Where? Okay.
On 5th Street.
What's the address?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No, sir.
How'd you go up here? You walk?
Yeah.
This okay. Is a long time ago, is what he's saying.
I'm just tired of covering it up. Right?
Try to cover it up?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm tired of living with my life, sir.
The guilt?
Hell yeah.
Okay. This is him.
Is it okay? You're all sweaty. Did you run here?
No, I drank.
Oh, you drank all that water right there?
No.
Okay. Alrighty. Yeah, go ahead. Would you show me where it's at?
What?
If I took you, would you be able to show me where it's at?
Well, I have to get it right now.
Well, that will be known where the...
Yeah, what?
If I took you, would you be willing to show me where it's at?
Well, I have to get it right now.
Well, that will be known where the
yeah,
the house
I'll
is. Okay. I'll let you finish your thing.
Let's go.
Okay. You don't want to finish it? You're good there?
Yeah. I'm
okay.
Anyways.
All right. Just hang on, okay?
Tony, after saying he's fucked anyway, stands up and is willingly placed in cuffs. There's a sense of relief in his eyes.
Relax. No. Did Jamie call that one?
I did.
You did?
Yeah, where are you going?
This guy has it. Hold on.
No. Just hang out right here, okay? We'll talk about this guy. Hang out here. So, he's saying... He's saying he killed somebody a long while ago and he buried a house, some house up this street. That's what he's saying.
So, I asked him if he's willing to show me where the house is. He's like, yeah, I'm willing to show you where the house is.
So, that's all we got right now. He doesn't know the address a long time ago. That's it.
Nothing current.
So, I'm going to take him up there. See if you're willing to show me the house and we'll just...
Wait,
you?
Huh? Wait, you?
I haven't figured it out yet. I literally just was hearing conversations from so. What year was this at? You don't remember? Okay.
It's been so long.
It's been a long time. Okay, we're going to go all the way around over here. Okay, my car's way over there, so we're going to walk this way. Good.
Thank you guys for coming.
Absolutely.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah. Once I get your name, or once I get you in the car, I'm going to get your name and stuff, okay?
The scene of the arrest looks like any sunny day in a strip mall-infested area. What every town and minor city across the United States has become. A row of gas stations, a Sam's Club, and random fast food chains are the scenery. Sometimes you have to take a moment and soak in how ugly it all is. Somehow the confessing murderer is the most human element in the center of this retail hell.
We're going to the passenger side here, okay? Is it on East 5th or West 5th?
East 5th.
East side? Okay. Just hang out that tire, okay? Do you have anything on your person besides your switchers? Mind if I check you?
I don't give a fuck.
Okay. The phone? Okay. I'm just going to hold on to these, okay? I haven't seen it from my brother.
Okay, will you get that stuff back to...
that guy?
No, they belong to my sister. She lives right there down the street.
Okay.
I left the house.
Okay. All right, we'll address it. Have a seat, okay? I'm gonna roll the window down for you. Mayor, all right. So what's going to happen, okay? We're going to go to the police department, okay? We're going to find out some more information, okay? The detectives are going to talk with you about more information with it, okay? And then we'll address it from there, okay? All right, so hang on, okay? Yes, sir. Step up for me, man.
Fucking hurts, dude.
What hurts?
My fucking handcuffs.
Okay, we're going to get mafia right now. We're going to go this way.
Tony is placed in the squad car and driven to the police station. The goal is to get as much details as possible from the confessing man. On arrival, Tony's demeanor is somewhat changed. After exiting the vehicle, and I'm sure you heard, Tony growls and then complains about his cuffs. Obscura is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listener, I have to admit, as I get older, I can be a bit of a loner. I find that large gatherings can leave me feeling exhausted. Yet, we all have responsibilities. Sometimes you have to be an adult, put yourself out there. That said, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery life. I've personally spoken with therapists during hard periods in my life. They've helped me get my head straight and confront my grief head on. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited for your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/obscura today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/obscura. Again, find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/obscura today and get 10% off your first month. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventure, and the challenges she overcame. The book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. Personally, I love My Life in a Book. I tried it with my mom, and I've heard stories I'd never heard before because, you know, they just never came up naturally in conversation. It's easy to use, and my favorite part is it's given me more of an excuse to talk to my mom more. You know, it's not always easy to come up with those on your own. Listener, check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code OBSCURA at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code OBSCURA for 10% off today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Stand right here and face this wall real quick. And I'm going to give it. This arm is hurting.
On body, bro.
Your whole body?
Yeah, I took a bunch of bone fish pills and everything.
You took some or you take some?
I took some.
Okay.
And I drank. I shouldn't have drank.
Okay, have a seat. Hold on.
But I didn't know how to confess to him.
Okay, have a seat real quick.
All right.
Now, when you're saying you took all this stuff, when was this? A little bit ago? When you took the pills and the alcohol?
Yeah, I needed my pills.
When was this that you took them? Was it earlier this morning?
Yeah, when you drank some alcohol.
Okay.
Because I wanted to confess.
Okay. Hang on, let me go lock my car quick. Hold on.
As you just heard, Tony took an assortment of pills and swallowed them down with alcohol. Enough to make his entire body ache. This to build the courage to finally confess. Next, he sat at a table in front of a video camera. Behind him, some soundproofing foam. As a side note, I wish police stations would take care like this for confessions. Most of them sound like they're recorded in a tin can, but I digress.
So, what was your name?
You don't want to speak?
Okay. I told you my name, why'd you ask me?
I'm just trying to start a conversation, man.
Okay, my name's Tony Ray Peralta.
Tony Peralta?
Yeah, I didn't mean to get back with you.
I'm sorry?
I've been drinking.
You've been drinking?
Yeah.
Okay. It's my understanding you called us, is that correct?
Hell yeah.
You want those off?
Yeah.
Thank you. You called us, but it's kind of mixed messages. You had handcuffs in your apartment.
I killed somebody, dude, and I buried him.
Okay. Do you feel like you're able to leave if you wanted, or do you want to be here?
Hell yeah. I confessed to a murder.
Okay.
One thing I find interesting is Tony's change of demeanor both time he's been cuffed. He gets agitated and acts like he's not going to cooperate. The cuffs come off and he's back to being open and confessing. Makes me curious how painful and tight those cuffs are on his wrist.
Okay.
How much are we going to do today?
A lot.
A lot?
Yeah. When you find his fucking body, it'll make you feel better. Zeta's house.
That'll make you feel better?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to live with the shame anymore.
Okay, I understand that. Alright, well, it's my understanding you're willing to take us to the house.
Yeah.
Did it happen at the house?
It did.
It did?
I was on meth really bad.
Okay.
And I killed him because he didn't give me no money. And I buried him in his house.
In his house? Do you remember his name?
His name was Bill. Everybody talks about it all the time.
Okay. How long ago?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Too long, boss. Don't ever say. Don't kill nobody that you don't have to.
Okay. All right, Tony. Well, tell you what. Give me a sec. We're going to go for a car ride. Do you want to do that?
To his house, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go.
Now, before we do this, you understand if we do find his body.
You better find his body. It should be right there.
Okay.
Hey, I'm confessed, man.
Mm-hmm.
I confess. I don't want to live life anymore without confessing.
Okay. Just for good measure, like you said, you got brought here in handcuffs. I know you called us. I know you want to do this because it's a strain on yourself. But I just want to make it clear that
I'm not going to be that person.
Yeah, I want to make this perfectly clear that you're telling us it's good on you for doing it, but it'd be my job. I would have to prosecute this when I discover this. You understand that,
yeah,
right?
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and advise your rights, just because it's kind of the state.
Don't have to tell me my rights. I know I'm fucked. I don't even care if I go to jail for fucking forever or get the death penalty. I should have never sinned, and that's it.
Oh, man, I got you. But just let me get through this. It's something on my end that they want me to do, okay? So
okay.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. You have the right to an attorney. To have the attorney present before any questioning and during any questioning. If you can't afford to hire an attorney, one will be provided for you at no cost to you. And if you choose to answer any questions or make any statements, you're free to step up at any time. Okay. You understand all that?
Yeah.
Okay. I know you said you drank a little bit.
Hey, I wanted to confess to you.
Right. I understand.
All right. Cool.
All right, so we're going to go get in the car. We'll drive you to it. You show me.
I'm hot, though. Will he turn on the air conditioner? It's hot as fuck.
It's so hot in here. We're going to go downstairs. We're going to get in the car. And I'm going to turn that AC up.
All right.
I hate it up here.
All right, well, let's go. Cause
okay, give me 1 minute.
Yeah. I just got to do something real quick with those handcuffs. You're fine. Relax. Want your water?
Yeah, please.
Go ahead. You grab it. Go ahead.
Can I smoke that? Hey, it's my last.
We'll do it over there, okay?
Okay, all right.
But I can't do it in my cop car, so grab your water.
Oh, you don't have a lighter, huh?
I have lighter in my cop car, though.
All right, cool.
Grab your water.
Hey, just my last cigarette, and that's it.
All righty. I got you. You can bring it with you if you want it. All righty. We're going to go down to the right and down the stairs again, okay?
Okay.
Tony confesses to killing William after he didn't lend him money for meth. He then gets emotional and explains to the officer the overwhelming sense of loss he's felt since this sin. He tells the officer to not live life the way he has. Call me weak, but I do feel somewhat moved by Tony here. Yes, it took pills and liquid courage, but it seems like he would have gotten away with this murder had he not confessed. Listener, do you think there's room for forgiveness in a case like this?
It's right here.
next house.
This white one?
This white one here?
Yeah. I buried him in that slight place right here.
That one.
Hey, you see this side door right here?
Uh-huh.
Bury anything right there.
Okay.
Like in the little building?
Yes, sir.
Hang on. I'm sorry?
Why didn't they smell his body in
there? I don't know. Hang on, okay?
On a morbid field trip to 5th Street, Tony finds the residence. He chillingly explains, "This is where I killed their dad." Years earlier, cadaver dogs were used to search this exact location. I guess even canines have their off days. In the next clip, you'll notice that Tony gets combative again. Part of me wonders if the cops should remove those cuffs.
Tony.
Yeah?
Here's the deal, brother. We need some more details.
All right, what do you want?
To be able to prove it.
Okay.
So, let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
What year do you think this was?
I don't remember.
How old do you think you were?
I don't remember.
What does the victim look like?
Or
what
I did don't the remember.
Look? What do you mean you don't remember?
I don't remember. I just know that I killed him.
Why do you know that?
Because I know that I killed him and I kept it a secret.
Okay. Why did you keep it a secret?
Because I didn't give a fuck.
How long have you been keeping it a secret?
A long time.
Like how long?
Like 7 years maybe.
Yeah. You see how all your answers are, I don't know? That's what we're having a hard time with.
Well, I said I did it.
Yeah. But we need a lot more detail than that in order to get the full picture of it, right? And if this person's dead in here and has been dead for a long time, they got a family, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the family's probably missing them. Okay. They probably deserve answers on what happened, right?
Yeah.
So do you want to give them that?
I was high and I didn't get the fuck.
Okay. What were you high on?
Meth.
Meth? Smoke it or shoot?
I shot it.
Shot it? How much did you use a day?
A lot.
A lot? Are you still using?
No, sir.
No?
That's okay. Probably why I'm confessing.
So, what was the reason that you killed him?
I don't have a reason.
You didn't have a reason? So, were you guys arguing?
No. I just felt stupid one day, I guess.
You just felt dumb? What was he doing when you killed him?
Being a good man.
Was he sitting, sleeping, standing, reading, watching TV?
I don't know.
You don't remember? But you killed him in a tub?
No.
That's what you said earlier.
I didn't say that earlier.
What did you say?
I said I killed him. That was it.
No, you said in the bathroom in a tub. How'd you kill him?
I didn't say that.
How'd you kill him?
I said I killed him. That was it.
No, you didn't. You told me how earlier.
Well, he's right there.
Well, we're gonna go see if he's in there.
Good.
But how'd you kill him?
I killed him.
How? Did you shoot him?
No.
Did you hit him with a bat?
I killed him.
How'd you kill him?
I don't remember.
Did you stab him?
I don't remember.
You did earlier.
I did earlier.
You're just repeating the things that I'm saying now. You see how I don't believe you? If I just came to you and I just said it all the time, I don't know, I don't remember, would you believe anything I'm saying? You said, hey sir, what's the law on this? And said, I don't know. You think you trust me? That's why I'm having a hard time trusting you.
I know. I said a guilt person is in the house.
Yeah. And we're going to go try and find him.
Okay.
But I don't have the details on where he's at.
I told you where he was at.
Where's he at inside the house?
I don't know.
Huh? Where did you bury him?
On the side house right there.
Okay. What part?
The part right there.
Yeah, yeah. But what part of that room?
The left side.
The left side?
Yeah, if you dig in, if you pull the board up and dig them up.
Okay.
Okay.
On the left side of the building?
Yeah.
So that's towards the courthouse?
Yes.
Okay, which way is his head pointed?
I don't know.
Which way are his feet pointed?
I don't know.
How is he laying in there?
He's just dead. Huh?
How deep is he buried?
Not very far.
Not very far?
Nope.
Are we talking like inches?
Yep.
Or like feet?
Inches.
Inches.
Yep. You'll find him.
You think he's decayed?
Hell yeah.
How long do you think it's been?
Too damn long.
Too damn long?
Yes, sir.
What was he wearing?
I don't remember.
Was he wearing clothes?
Yes.
Or did you bury him naked?
I buried him with clothes.
With clothes? Yes. Did he have shoes on?
I don't remember.
Did he wear glasses?
I don't remember.
What type of person was he? White? Was he Hispanic?
I think he was white.
Black?
I don't know.
You don't know what he was?
No.
And you don't know his last name?
No, sir.
How old do you think he was?
Old.
Like how old?
I don't know.
Like if you had to guess. How old are you?
Old. 37.
Is he older than you?
Yeah.
How old are your parents?
My parents are dead.
How old would they be?
I don't know.
You don't know? Over 50?
I don't know anything.
Okay. Are you under the influence of anything right now?
Yeah, I'm drinking alcohol.
You've been drinking?
Yeah.
You want to wait and talk to us once you're sober?
Yeah, can you take me to the police station or what?
No, we're going to leave you here for right now.
What do you mean?
Because we got to do this. So you're going to stay here.
Okay.
If we find something, then obviously we'll have more to talk about.
All right, cool.
But we need details to start working on this. So if you can
already gave you every single detail.
Right, but there's a lot of I don't know. So I'm saying if you start to remember those things, let somebody know.
All
right. Okay, first thing.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're going to stay here for a little while.
Okay.
Okay. And if this is a lie, you're going to be charged with false reporting.
On the police body cam, we find ourselves in the property. The officer's on the scene with a shovel digging, hoping to find William's body.
Here's that, like, the black tarp they put down to keep weeds from growing through. Oh, looks like shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no, that's a jump. I'm not seeing
that. Is that a shoe?
I think it's a shoe too.
But a boat's on
it. It's starting to pour out.
Is it bones in
it?
It
is one that's long ways.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
American Criminal is a new true crime podcast from the studio behind American Scandal and American History Tellers. Every week, you'll fall deeper into the riveting stories of the country's most clever, craven, and cruel criminals. Fraud, theft, murder, and worse. Whatever the case, whoever the criminal, you don't know the whole story until now. The debut season tackles one of the most sensational cases of the 20th century, the Menendez murders. In 1989, young Lyle and Eric Menendez brutally shot their own parents. Prosecutors and the press said it was a multi-million dollar inheritance that led two greedy rich kids to murder. But the picture-perfect facade this Hollywood family built hid troubling abuse. Could these teenagers have been driven to kill? Or was it even in self-defense? Listen now. Go to AmericanCriminal.com or search for and follow American Criminal wherever you get your podcasts.
John Tizzy, to come help you. That's weird, though.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose. Or do you want back up here, sir?
In the footage, you can clearly see a boot half buried in the dirt. One of the officers seemed particularly hesitant to believe they've actually found remains. Seems the surrealness of the situation may have him a bit cynical.
Let's pull this out. Let's
see
what
you can
get it with the shovel.
Oh, that's a shoe. Yep, you can see. I think it is.
There's the, like, I think it's the boot, it's and that's boot. The bottom sole of it.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? Because you can see the gun run up right there. So we need to get that out, and that'll kind of determine a little bit more, you know?
Yeah, because that's the sole of it.
Yeah, that's just, yeah, that would go right there.
Grab it and pull it and see if a foot falls out.
Okay.
This is getting very scientific.
It's 7 years or more ago, I'm not going to lose anything.
Check that. Yep.
After some gallows humor, the team decides to see if they can find more. Pulling at the boot, it snaps from its resting place. Looking in the boot, they see William's decaying foot.
Have you been here for a little while? At the police department?
Mm-hmm.
My name's Gino, by the way. They just called me in.
Yes, nice to meet you.
You too, sir. Is that good? Is the hamburger good? It's McDonald's, but it is what it is, right? So they already read you your Miranda rights. You're aware of all that stuff.
After a long, hot day, Tony is sat there eating his McDonald's cheeseburger. Looking at him, I think about how much a man can change in 15 years. I think about what a punk I was in my youth. Now I live with a lot of regret myself from those years. I never killed anyone, but I did hurt people. I see Tony sitting there with his eyes empty of pride, and I can't imagine the guilt that he lives with, and what that took to bring him to this day.
What time did you call the police department?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Tell me what happened, man.
I killed somebody a long time ago.
Okay. Why, what happened?
I don't know, sir.
I've been told his name is Bill, but it's really William, right?
I don't know.
You were living with him at the time? Okay. Back then, you guys had some kind of issue. Was it about a wallet? No. Do you remember what happened? Why?
I just remember I just needed to confess. That was it.
Okay. How did you do it? Do you not remember, or you just don't want to say it?
I just don't want to talk anymore.
Okay. Okay. Well, it's off your shoulders now, man.
Tony breaks down, his face red and stained with tears, but he can never undo the awful thing he's done. Confessing is at least the path at setting things right for William's family. It's hard to hear, but in a moment, Tony will tell his interviewer that he came forward because his heart hurts.
You know, I wasn't around back then, 2009. So, you know, my own curiosity is... You know, I wanna know. And, you know, I could read the reports from back then, and that's why I said the wallet thing, because that's what we were told. I know he was an older guy. I know that you were living with him, right? You guys were roommates. He owned the place, right?
I don't know.
But he allowed you to stay there, like you were kind of renting. Did you pay him money to live there, or?
I don't remember.
He just, okay, but you guys were living together. All right. So, what happened, man?
I don't know.
Do I look familiar to you?
Uh-huh.
No? You look real familiar to me. I feel like we've talked before. Maybe I've just seen you around town. Did you use a gun?
I don't remember.
Okay. Well, how about this? Why don't you tell me why you decided to come forward?
Because my heart hurts.
Okay. Has it been eating at you for a while?
Fuck yeah.
Okay. I know this is probably a big, hard decision you had to make. You've been thinking about it for a while?
Every day.
Tony admits that he's thought about his crime every day since it happened. Though he escaped justice, it seems he still lived a life in a prison of his own making, perhaps paying his dues behind bars will allow him to free himself of this self-imposed purgatory.
I've never been in that position, but I can imagine how hard that decision was to step up and...
At least nobody doesn't have to worry anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine his family. You know, he was an older guy, but, you know, his family never knew what happened. And that's kind of where I stand, because I want to be able to tell them, you know, what happened.
His son, tell them that he was a good man and I shouldn't have did what I did. You know?
Okay. Yeah, it was... His son is the one that reported it to us back then about not being able to get a hold of his dad.
Why didn't anybody say anything after that? Why didn't everybody just let him fucking slide?
What do you mean?
I don't know.
Okay.
Tony's words here are telling. He asked why everyone let the crime slide for so long. Why the knock never came at his door. It appears that Tony spent a decade and a half waiting for the hammer that never fell. Perhaps he spent lonely nights desiring his much-deserved punishment.
The cops talked to you back then, I assume?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Give me a little details, Tony. What happened?
Do I have to speak or what?
No, you don't have to, man. I'm just talking to you. You don't have to tell me anything. You don't. You don't. I just want to know the story. I'm sure the family wants to know the story. You know, things...
He was always good to me, and I took his life for no reason. And I don't have an excuse.
What did you
use? A lot of people have an excuse. I don't have one.
What did you use to kill him?
I don't remember.
Do you remember if it was some type of weapon or your hands?
I don't remember. All I know is that I buried him and I shouldn't.
One of the officers told me that you had said it was some type of sharp object. Maybe like a knife or a screwdriver or something.
I don't remember.
Okay. And again, you don't have to talk to me, but please don't lie, because there's no reason to lie anymore. Right?
I killed him with a screwdriver.
Okay. And is that screwdriver around anywhere?
No.
Because it's been, I know it's been a long time.
Yeah.
You got family in town here?
Yeah. That's why I wanted to confess for they don't, you know, nothing happens to them. It was my fault for my sin. Nobody else should suffer except this.
Your parents still around?
No.
No.
Tony seems to draw the line at explaining what exactly happened. He finally admits to using a screwdriver, and at that point sits back in his chair and stares off into the distance. I am not a psychologist. This is purely armchair speculation. But listener, do you think Tony could be suffering from a form of PTSD alongside his overwhelming guilt?
So no reason. So, I kind of went back there and looked at it in the area. There's some cross members on the floor. Were those there when you put them in there?
No.
Okay, so it was just an open space at the time?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
It was in what?
like cross members. You know, like if you were to pull up the floor, there's like joists, like braces.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking about? Like deco diagonal that the floor sits on?
No.
Those weren't there?
I don't remember.
Okay. Did you have to, let me say this, did you have to dismember his body to get him in there, or did you just put him in there whole?
I don't remember. It was a long time ago.
See,
anyways, I already confessed, man.
No, well, see, I need to know this information because I'm going to go and dig him up, all right?
And I already dug him up.
No. But we went over there and looked at it. We haven't even got started yet. That's a.
Are they going to take me to jail?
It's a process. I don't know, man. I don't know. We have to talk to the district attorney's office.
So I'm going to be stuck here all night or what?
No, not all night. No. No, but we got to talk to the DAs. They're the ones that ultimately make the decision. But those cross members, you know, like, there would be no way to put him in the ground without dismembering him. That's my curiosity is what I'm facing. Okay. All right. Is there anything that you think I should know that you want to tell me before I take off?
Everybody knows everything, right?
On August 23rd, 2023, Tony Peralta was convicted of second-degree murder. He was sentenced to a poetic 15 years in prison. And, listener, something tells me these 15 years will be easier than the last. And that's it for this episode. I want to ask you, listener, how do you feel about Tony? It does seem, at least to me, that he's genuinely remorseful. But at what point is remorse enough? Remorse will never bring back William. He's dead. He's gone. There's nothing you can do about that. And his family spent 15 years wondering where he went. And I'm sure plenty of his family members were deceased before they could find out. Is Tony's sentencing enough? Is 15 years enough? I'm genuinely curious by what you think about this, because I'm torn. He didn't seem to enjoy these last 15 years. In a way, after he serves these next 15 years, it's really like 30. But man, murder. It's really difficult to forgive a murder. Especially, I mean, he mentioned using a screwdriver. That's not an easy way to go out, I'll tell you that. Screwdrivers are dull. But yeah, was his 15-year sentencing enough? And do you feel bad for Tony? Do you feel that he's genuinely remorseful? Thank you for listening, and keep the fire burning.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.